It is an essential part of parenting now to pay attention to the media environment in which our children are developing and to respond to it in a proactive, informed, and compassionate way. There's a vast sense of unease among parents. They really see a change in their children. They don't understand what it's about. So we need to get past their own desire for the convenience of the television or the video game or the internet and say, let's make active choices about what's best for your child. One interesting story is that when the American Academy of Pediatrics came out several years ago with the recommendation that the television not be used as an electronic babysitter, there was a great deal of anger directed from parents to us who had recommended it, basically saying, you're being unrealistic. How am I supposed to get dinner on the table? If we can't get a meal on the table without a television, how did we as a species survive until 1947? This is not the only way to do things, and we need to rethink it with the added knowledge that exposure to media may not be a benign experience.
So there's a lot of things parents can do. Number one, restrict the time that your child has with commercialism. That's a no-brainer. Limit TV, limit exposure to the internet. Number two, talk to them about advertising. How does it work? How do you deconstruct it? Teach them how it works. Number three, when you say no to something that your child's nagging you for, some new thing, that you, video game, or when you say no and you really think it reflects your values, say yes to something that you know actually will be good for them and that they truly do want, even if they're not asking for it. Whether that's a fishing trip with dad or a camping trip with cousins or whatever it might be for your family. Get your child out in nature. There's something about it that restores us and helps us often want different things, not material things, but want things that are beautiful and good for us. Spend time with family and friends. Create the space. It's harder now. We're all working so hard. We're all stressed out. And the weekend, all you want to do sometimes is flop down in front of a movie because you have no energy for anything else. Try to hold on to relationships. It's so important for our children. Teach your children about money. A fourth of our college students today are in trouble with credit cards because they don't know how to manage money. Teach them to save money, not just to spend money. Teach them to avoid immediate gratification and impulsive buying so that by putting money aside, they'll be safe and they'll be feeling secure for their future. And I guess finally, teach them to be smart consumers. There are things that children should buy, things that we need to buy to make our lives better, but be smart about that. What's a good product, a good deal, but also a product that's good for the environment, that's made by people who are paid fairly. Teach them about fair trade and environmental products. We need to do this not just for the well-being of our children, but for the well-being of our planet.
One of the things that we wanted to do was to call mothers to kind of form communities of resistance, to get together with neighbors, to try to find out, you know, what's going on in your schools? Is there advertising in your schools? Is there some way that you can begin to fight that? Is there advertising in your daycare centers? Is there advertising in the scout troop? Is there advertising in your church? Increasingly, we're getting appeals from the pulpit that are of commercial in nature. So to begin to say, you know, listen, guys, what's going on here is really problematic on a number of levels in terms of the messages that we're sending to our children.
I think that the research indicates that the only way children are really going to be protected from this is that they need to learn to protect themselves. They need to become media literate. They need to understand how media work, how they are affected by media, how they are, you know, manipulated really by various media messages, whether it's just a story that manipulates them to scream when the bad guy jumps out from behind the door, or whether it's advertising that is manipulating them to buy a certain product. But that we will never succeed if we try to block them from it. First of all, it becomes forbidden fruit and they want it all the more. But also that, you know, they are going to come in contact with this material anyway. And if they are going to protect themselves, they need to know how to deconstruct these things and to understand what is happening to them in this process and to actively choose whether they want that to occur.
You know, when I wrote the book, What Kids Really Want That Money Can't Buy, we sent out a survey through various children's and family magazines and had almost 2,000 children respond. And what they themselves are saying is that they don't have time just to have friends. They don't have time to play outside. They don't have time to visit their relatives or see their cousins. They have more homework. On average today, compared to 1980, children have 40% less leisure time. They're doing longer days at school, more homework. There's a pressure to have them in after school care, either for security reasons or for accelerated learning reasons. There's a culture of king of the mountain right now. There's something where everybody's feeling a little scared about the future, so they've got to push their kid to get ahead or they won't be okay. But in that world of materialism and excessive work, kids are not allowed to be kids anymore. So what kids themselves say that they're yearning for is simply time to be kids. And it's critical that we give them that.
Parents need to recognize their part as role models. It's not just what they allow their children to do and what they pay for their children to buy. It is also the way they behave in relationship to consumer items. Our children look up to us and they model themselves on us and they want to be like us. And if we are lusting after the next great car or wanting to upgrade our home all the time, if we are equating our own personal value with the clothes we wear or the jewelry we have or the number of CDs we own, we are teaching that to them. In addition, we are deciding what is best for our children based on that metric also. So we are probably spoiling them by saying, this is a measure of my love for you. You're going to have a video iPod the moment they come out. And so we create expectations in our children that are certainly reinforced by their peer pressure and the culture around them. But this sort of attitude really starts at home. And I think that it becomes very hard to pull back from the consumer culture and teach children that their real worth is other things, their personality, their heart, their compassion, their intelligence, their ability to get along with other kids. But if you start with that solid basis and bring them up in ways that are not focused on having the latest kid clothes or the coolest toy in the playground, they will learn to accept that. They will not be happy all the time. There's no question about it. And we as parents need to learn to make our kids unhappy sometimes because they're not getting what they want.
We live in very anxious times, and anxiety is contagious. And I think many children feel the burden of that. They feel the fear that is in our society right now. And we owe it to them to create the space for them to play, to simply be with friends, whether it's teenagers or young children, to put their hands in the sandbox, to get on a swing outside, to notice the clouds. This has been something humans have done for centuries, to eat dinner together. Only a third of Americans sit around the table and eat a meal together anymore. We are losing the traditions that have bonded the tribe, have helped people stay together for thousands of years. We're abandoning them. The cost of that is profound.